Michael's got a lot of different things started. And so there's, you know, just even just some small little odd jobs and things that we could easily do. And we want to do that. Now, I wasn't able to hear back here, so that's why they had to come and get me. So did you mention about the mission work? Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah. So we talked last night, and so there's a lot of open doors that are out there on the mission field and in a lot of countries. And so there's some real opportunities that are there. And then some of the places that Brother Goom has already been, they're inviting him to come back. And some of them, the Lord has really put it on his heart because there's some needs there. And when we talk about needs, we're not talking the physical and the material. We're talking about the spiritual things. And so we want to really do whatever we can to get the word out there, to get the message out there. And so we're asking that each one will be in prayer, in deep prayer for these things. And let us do what we can do financially to get him out there on the field and to minister to those that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And so I think it's a great opportunity. It is a great opportunity for us as believers to be a part of that and to support that. And so that's what we want to do. And so we're just inviting each one. And now we know December, of course, you can go anytime, but you know, towards December, some of those countries is the best time to go due to the weather and different things. But he'll know, you know, where and when and those things. So just we want to get this on our hearts, and we're going to keep reminding you as we go along, so that we can start setting some money aside for it. We have the mission envelope there, so if you have something you would like to put toward that, if you'll put it in there, it'll be set aside just for that. And then when the time comes, we'll do what we can above that to make it possible. And so I think it's a really great opportunity for us. So remember that. All right. So now I want to get into the message tonight. And so we're in the book of called the Book of Redemption, and this is part 5. And my subject tonight is the ignorance of the people. And so I have a little bit in the Old Testament, a little bit in the New, and then I want to get into the message. So I'm hoping I can move right along. But I had quite a few scriptures here, and I wanted to read them. And I want you to think about these scriptures as we're reading. as I've been studying lately, sometimes when we're reading certain scriptures, especially when we come in like into the book of Acts and we come into the Gospels, and we come into some of those places, one of the things that's happening is that the people of that age are being introduced to a new message. They're being introduced to a new covenant. And so we know that there was a dispensational change in the days of Jesus and into Paul, and that everything was new. This was a complete, total change. And so when we're watching these people and we're seeing the things that are being presented to them, and we have to think, this is somewhat like Noah. Here's something that has never happened before, and now it's being introduced to the people. And people are some of them, they're in shock. Some of them are just complete denial. Some of them are open arms to receive it. The same thing when Moses come on the scene and God was taking them into a new thing. This is something that had never been done before. It was just a supernatural phenomena that was going on. And so if you think about it and you put yourself in that as you're reading it, and you can think about this day, what God has done in this hour. And now, if we think back in the seventh church age and in the early 1900s when the message was coming forth. And it's not like it was now. I think Brother Gumba just mentioned the other day, it's like there's a church on every corner. Now there's message churches everywhere. But if you go back to the generation before us, I can remember Brother Holmes saying that you did good. If there was even one church in the state, and there was many states that didn't have a church, message churches preaching the prophet. But then now, goodness, we have 50 states. There's probably 50 churches. There's more than 50 churches in this state. But in this area, this local area here, 50-mile radius, there's no telling. 30, 40 churches maybe. So it's changed. And so and during that time, people begin to settle down. And people began to, it gets common and whatever. And then people start going away again. And this happened in every age. And so, but for us, God is opening up, continually opening up the revelation. And so when I say us, I'm talking the bride around the world. I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about around the world. The bride is feeding upon the word. So there's always something going on for the elect. Because God, they're in that fellowship with God. They're in that relationship with God. And so that's what's going. So this is in the Old Testament. And it's talking about ignorance here. And some of these scriptures, it's been so long since I read some of these things till forgot it was even there. But they had an offering for the ignorance of the people. If they did something they weren't even aware of, something they didn't even know that they'd done, which would be through ignorance, then they had an offering that they made. And so that's what we're dealing here. There's a lot of talk, there's several places in the Old Testament. But we're just going to read here in Numbers 15. And so this is one of the, I think, the last places maybe. If you have erred and not observed all these commandments, which the Lord has spoken unto Moses. Now, if anywhere they made a mistake, anywhere they overlooked something, anywhere there was some ignorance that they did, or they something they didn't do, then he's bringing a sacrifice for that. Even all that the Lord hath commanded you by the hand of Moses, from the day that the Lord commanded Moses and henceforth among your generations. Then it shall be, if aught be committed by ignorance, without the knowledge of the congregation. In other words, they just did this thing ignorantly. They messed up. They erred some way. See? That all the congregation shall offer one bullock for a burnt offering, for a sweet savor unto the Lord, with his meat offering and his drink offering according to the manner, and one kid of goats for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them, for it is ignorance. Now think about that. We find it in the New Testament too. We can think of different things. We think about how Paul was killing the believers, the Christians of that day, but it was by ignorance. He thought he was doing God a service, and many, many instances there are people doing things ignorantly. And they shall bring their offering, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord, and their sin offering before the Lord for their ignorance. And it shall be forgiven all the congregation of the children of Israel and the stranger that sojourn among them, seeing all the people were in ignorance. So for the children of Israel and for the strangers, whoever it might be, they're all coming in under this mercy, this grace here that God has given them under this sacrifice for when they make a mistake. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. And when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And you shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that do aught presumptuously, huh? That's someone who's going out and they're not obeying what God has commanded. They're not obeying the law that God has put down and the rules that God has put down and the restrictions that God has put down. Now they go out and they override that and they become, they're taking liberties on the things that God has said. See? But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people. See? And then because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off, and his iniquity shall be upon him. We know the word iniquity means it's what you know to do right, you know what's right, and you do contrary to that. And so that's iniquity, and then that's what he's talking about now. And now he's going to bring some judgment in here, and he's going to give us an example of something that happened to them when these things were first coming, they were first introduced, and they did not yet know what the penalty was. They didn't yet know what to do about this. And so, but he's telling them here, when you disobey, you're going to be cut off from among, from the Lord. In verse 32, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. And so I want you to think now why they were so strict when they found Jesus and he was picking the corn, when they were doing the things. They weren't allowed to pick up sticks. They weren't allowed to do anything. It was very, very strict. But after all of this time, how it come, it just become where the sincerity wasn't there. And so something greater than the Sabbath, something greater than the law, something greater than what they were doing had showed upon the scene. Verse 34, and they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. They didn't know yet what should happen to a man that is doing this. They knew they weren't supposed to do it. But now, hasn't been established yet. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. Boy, doesn't that seem harsh? Doesn't that seem really harsh? But it was serious. And you think now, these were natural laws, these were natural actions, these were natural things that they were to obey. And you think why people now are so slack. If it was like this, Brother Branham said, you have this guy driving down the road at 95 miles an hour, and he could kill somebody, or he does kill somebody, and he said, if he goes down the road and he runs somebody over and kills him, and the penalty was that he dies. He said, if the penalties were stiffer, he said, there would be less people doing it. But he said, if you got money, you can pay your way out. You can do this, you can do that. But now, you look. Now people don't even care about the natural side of it. They don't care what God said. And the reason is because it's not a natural death right now. It's not like they're penalized right now. If it was, people wouldn't do it. But what God is doing is revealing himself. And in that revealing himself, it's spiritual death now to those that don't obey, to those that don't believe, to those that don't follow what God has established in each age. And so by that, that death is going to come spiritually now, but physically later. And so it is a time now when people think it doesn't matter, when it does matter. God has a law. God has a message in every day, in every age. God is establishing the word of salvation for that group of people for that day and that age. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. So there was the offering for ignorance. There was the penalty for disobeying the word of God. And so, and there the judgment was brought upon that man. Now, this is in Acts chapter 3. And I used to preach out of this book a lot when we were way back there in the seventh church age, and looking at those things and trying to bring people, we were trying to bring people into the seventh church age. We were trying to bring them in to the seventh angel's message. We were trying to get them to see that God had promised a time that he would come back, and those things that was lost down through the ages was going to come back and be restored once again. So, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask of alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now, was this, well, I'll ask you a question, because was this a normal thing to happen in the Old Testament? Or was this a new thing that was being established? That now there was a ministry on the earth that had power over the devil. There was a ministry now on the earth that common people, not just the priesthood, but now common people were healing the sick and casting out devils and doing great signs and wonders. And the people are seeing this, and they're in amazement. And what a way, Brother Goomba, to make an entrance into the temple or go into a town, you think, and to bring the gospel, to bring something new. It was kind of like Jonah when he went down and the whale spit him out. And they were worshiping the fish god. And here he comes with the message. What it did for them as they're walking in. And this guy that has been like this, now he's healed and he walks in with them and he's praising God, and the people are in amazement. It makes it a lot easier for people to get excited and to see and to believe. But ultimately they're not going to believe unless the seed is in there. We know that. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And they couldn't deny this great miracle. They couldn't deny, they knew him. He was set there, he was brought there. The family brought him every day and set him down there. And he begged. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. And I want you to think about this, how he puts the praise and the glory to God. That we can't do anything. But at the same time that he's doing that, he's pointing the people to Christ. He's pointing to the people to this new message, to this new and living way that's being introduced. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Oh, what a perfect message. He's going to point them right to the right place. But think, they had a reason to marvel. They had a reason to wonder. This was a new thing that was taking place. This was a new thing that was happening. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son, Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Praise be to God. You just can't get away from that, can you? It's everywhere. Pharaoh was going to let him go. He was going to let him go. God said no. God hardened his heart because God had a purpose. God had a purpose. Amen. I just love it. We're talking about those things this morning on the preaching for the capstone, and it's just predestination. And I was telling the people this morning that there was a time that it was not even questioned. Predestination was just a very, and even my wife mentioned it. She says, it's hard to believe people even question this, that they question predestination. But the scripture plainly says, some don't believe it. And Brother Branham said, some don't believe it. They just don't believe predestination. And I've talked to people before that although they believe God, they claim they believe God, they go to church, they do everything that a Christian would do, but yet they don't believe that God knew everything and that God chose. That God chose. That seems to be, I don't know what makes that hard, but that God chose. And so some of the brothers, Brother Gomba and another brother, JP, they were talking about some of those things about God causing the fall. And that's the wrong word to use if I say he caused the fall. But Brother Branham said that it was necessary that God create a man that would require salvation. It's all how you say it. It's all how you say it. And Brother Branham said predestination is a bad word. It's a bad word. So what did he do? He said, it's not that he chose this one or chose that one, but that he foreknew. He foreknew who would. And then Brother Branham said, so he didn't predestinate. In other words, he didn't choose and choose and choose, but that he knew. He knew who would. And so then Brother Branham said, but both of the words really mean predetermined. Both of the words, predestination, predetermined, foreknowledge, predetermined, they both can be saying the same thing. But you can use the word as he knew before. Okay? So Brother Branham said, by his foreknowledge, he predestinated. So does the word predestinate mean something different? If you say he predestinated them, so he foreknew them. Or if he foreknew them, so now he can predestinate them. That's what he said. Either way, it's predestination. This is what he said. After he said it's a bad word, after he told the people that God's not doing that, it's just that he knew. And then after Brother Branham explains all that, he mellows it all out and he makes it sound so easy and so simple and like God didn't do anything. And then he says, God, by his foreknowledge, predestinated them. It's the same word. It's the same meaning. He still predestinated them. He still predetermined. He still chose. It wasn't an accident what Adam did. God made him that way so it could happen that way. So if I say it the wrong way, then you have a quote to come and say, no, that's not true. But if you read the rest of the message, it can only be true. The whole Bible, the whole message is God is fulfilling his great plan. And that you're just actors. You're just the veils that God is acting through to manifest his great revelation. Sorry, I didn't mean to get off on that, but it just keeps coming up, and it keeps coming up. And I really appreciate Brother Goomba, and I still haven't read all of those quotes from the last week or several days, but I read some of them. And sometimes you wonder where it's coming from. You wonder where it's coming from. When you have to leave off so much of the message to take one quote and make it and capitalize on one quote that to bring out an idea. It doesn't make sense. And so, but it's there, and it's there for a reason. And so what we didn't think was important, then it's becoming important. It's becoming, God's forcing the issue. I'm not going to say it's the devil, but it is. It is, because that's where false teaching comes from. That's where false understanding comes from. That's where false everything comes from. But if God is letting this thing come up, then God wants us to be sure. Whatever you thought, whatever, God wants us to be sure. And so God is the one who ultimately is pushing it, because he's in charge of everything. So back to Acts 3:14. But ye denied the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Huh? Now he's preaching now. He's God vindicated him. He's walking into the temple, he's coming up, and here's this person. He's healed, he's made to walk again, and now this guy is walking in with them, jumping and shouting and praising God. And now he is letting them know that we didn't do this, but God did this. And he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. And said, he's the one that you killed. He's the one that you rejected. He's the one. See? Ye denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, he's letting him know that this God that he's talking about is right there on the scene. This God that he's talking about is the one who did this thing. No, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. God did it. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. And now that word, want, W-O-T. It means I know. He says, I know you did it through ignorance. I know you did it through ignorance. So here, once again, many. And we know that the Jews was blinded. We know that different ones, even as Paul, different ones, same thing. They come in under this. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Amen. God showed all of these things before by the prophets, because God had them all planned out, that God was going to do this, and God was going to do this, and God was going to do this. Wasn't just a bunch of people just happened to by free moral agency, just happened to make this choice and this choice and this choice. I'm sorry that God planned this thing. God put this thing together. God went to much detail, great detail, to make this and this and this and this and this and bring all of that together and bring it to pass. It wasn't just that he knew what you were going to decide. That's not what the Bible and the Message teaches. Now, you can take all of the watered-down things you want to, and you can make them a doctrine, but to do that, you're going to have to leave out a lot of revelation. You're going to have to leave out a lot of very, very basic things that the Bible says. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do it. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. See, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Praise be to God. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Praise God. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Praise be to God. Unto you first, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Amen. Praise be to God. So that's what was happening in that day. And the blood of Jesus Christ had come on the scene, and the blood of Jesus Christ was covering the sins of the people, and their ignorance, everything that was there, God was making a way, and he was vindicating his presence by the signs and wonders that were being done. Now, coming to the seal book in the breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, I want to get something here that will tie in there, and just to put this in as we get further into the book. And so many years ago when I first started seeing the book and hearing the things that was preached about it, this is the one thing that really helped me recognize the difference between the church ages and the bride age, which at that time we didn't know there was a bride age. We didn't know there was any other age. We didn't know there was anything else. We only knew the seventh church age. We knew that that was the last age and there wouldn't be any more. And so, but something happened when those seals opened up. And there began to be some details that had to be adjusted a little bit. The shadows had to be moved out. Now the thing really began to open and it began to clear. As like Brother Branham said, looking through a glass. He said, you hold that glass up, I can see through the glass. I can see through the color. I can see the color. I can see the figures. See. But it's not clear to see the details. And when the veil was taken off, it became clear. And we began to see clearly who God is and what God is doing in this time. So let's get this. We have paragraph 190. And he said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, see, O Judah, a lawgiver shall go before or between its knees until Shiloh comes. Shall not, I'm sorry. Judah, see, a lawgiver shall not go before or between its knees until Shiloh comes. But he will come through Judah. And the lion, the symbol of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed. He's overcome. And when he looked around to see where that lion was, he saw a lamb. Strange. Look for a lion and see a lamb. And the elder called him a lion, but when John looked, he saw a lamb. a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world, a lamb. And so this, just as many times, there's a change that's made. It changed from the Old Testament to Christ sitting at the right hand of God. There was a change that was made. And now, at this time, the seals are fixing to break open. They're not open yet. This is in the breach. The first seal is fixing to, the next night is fixing to open. And when that first seal begins to open, and it begins to reveal what it was. And so this is still, there's still things going right here, and he says it that way. And as it goes into the seals, he begins to explain how those things begin to open up and how those things begin to be revealed that weren't known before. So here, they're looking for this lion, and he steps forth the lamb. See? When John saw him, a lamb as it had been slain from the foundation of the world. See? Now a lamb stepped up, and the elder said, a lion has overcome, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And John looked to see the lion, and there come a lamb, shaking, blood on his wounds. He's on him, wounds, he had prevailed. And you could tell he had been in battle. He had been slain. But he was alive again. Here he was. Huh? So what's he doing? It's the same person. He's just changing his position. His position is being changed. His ministry is being changed. John hadn't noticed this lamb before. You know here, he hadn't been mentioned. Nowhere had it been mentioned. John didn't see it. See, all over the heavens as he's looking. But here it come forth. Remember, he was looking for someone to take the book. And he said there was no man in heaven, no man on earth, no man under the earth. No one was worthy. No man was even to look upon this book. But then the cry goes out. The lion of the tribe of Judah. See? And who was it? It was the lamb. It was the lamb coming forth. See? Where did it come from? It come from the Father's throne, where he had been seated since he had been slain and raised again. Where was he? The Father's throne. He raised up and sat at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercessions. See, raised there today as an intercessor with his own blood to make intercessions upon the ignorance of the people. Now, that's the one I'm depending on, see? He still has covered with bleach, the bleach of the forgiveness of sins. Now, he said, now he paid the price on Calvary. That's what he's saying. He paid the price, and he sat on the right hand of God, and he was interceding, he was mediating for the sins of the people. And Brother Branham identifies it here that his blood, the intercessor with his own blood to make intercessions upon the ignorance of the people. And this is the thing that helped me so much in understanding. Because that's what it was. That's why was he interceding? Why would he have to sit there for 2,000 years if he had paid the price? If he had paid the price and we had no sin, the price was paid for sin, it was all forgiven, it was all done, then what was the purpose of this intercessory work? What was the purpose of this blood being there now? Huh? It was the purchase price. It had paid the price. But there was something that was not yet revealed. There was something that we were ignorant to. There was something that we didn't know. And that was not to be done then. That was going to be done in this day. That was going to be revealed in this hour, at this time. And so, what's he calling it? The Book of Redemption. What's he call the Bible? The Book of Redemption. So, this book has got to be revealed. Because there's something about it that we don't know, that we don't understand. There's something that we're ignorant to. So he was interceding for the ignorance of the people. But there comes a time that he opens the book and he reveals the mystery of the plan of redemption. And when he opens that book and he reveals redemption is revealed, then there's something that we learn. There's something that's moved out. Brother Branham said that Satan is a squatter. He said Satan, he lost it. He said when Christ paid the price, Satan lost it. He lost all of it. Well, tell me, how is it that Satan has been in control for these last 2,000 years since the price has been paid and he lost his claims on it? How could that possibly be? Brother Branham said the reason is because he had not come and made the claim. He hadn't made the claim. And he said, Satan, the problem with us is, he said, Satan has fooled us. Or, what's the word? I can't think of the word that Brother Branham used. But, he's bluffing. He's bluffing us. He's bluffing us to think that he owns it, that he's in control of it. And as long as we believe that, as long as we believe that, we are not standing where God has put us. And that's the ignorance that we're going to get rid of when those seals open up. That's the thing God give us when those seals open up. It didn't just come like that. It didn't just come with one message. It was message building on message, building on message, building on message. There was a revelation in those messages from the seals. There was a message in those messages before the seals. But that message, when those seals broke, that became a new book. That Bible, it became a new Bible. It became a new book. And there was things that was seen in there, that was in there, that was never recognized, never understood. Just like, I don't want to keep bringing it up, but Brother Branham making that statement that about foreknowledge. He predestinates by foreknowledge. That thing has been laying there, and I've always been trying to look at it some other way. And the simplicity to try to prove it or to get people to understand that idea. You know, the brothers the same. But the very quote that they're using, brother, I just realized it's the answer. It's the answer. The very quote they're using that they're confused about actually answers the question. By his foreknowledge, he predestinated. You turn it any way you want to turn it. It's the same thing. It doesn't change the meaning of the word. God predestinated us. He predestinated this night. Brother Ram said he predestinated which one of us was going to preach tonight. He predestinated who was going to lead the singing. He predestinated who was going to do that and that and that. He predestinated it. Amen. An intercessor with his own blood to make intercessions upon the ignorance of the people. Praise be to God. Something happened. Something happened when them seals opened up. Something happened when we stood up and we found out that we didn't have any sin. Something happened when we realized we didn't become a son of God. That we always was a son of God. Huh? Something happened. Something happened. We weren't no longer trying to get saved. That was the difference. Oh, for the last 2,000 years, people have been trying to get saved. People have been trying to get this thing. Somehow, do whatever. Be a good person. Do this, do this, do this. They wanted to be saved. Everybody wants to be saved. Those seals opened up and we found out there's not anything you can do to be saved. That you always was saved. You always was a son of God. And then he takes us over to a scripture that was wrote 2,000 years ago, and it says, he that's born of God cannot sin. You can't even sin. Well, I used to think I sinned every day. But I can't sin. Because his seed remaineth in you. That's the difference. That seed's in there, you can't sin. He explained it. There's only one sin, it's unbelief. That's where Adam was. That's where Adam was. Satan couldn't deceive him. Satan couldn't make him disbelieve this word. But God put him in a position. God did. God put him in a position that he was going to have to make a choice. And God knew what choice. You just think, when God gave Hattie Wright the choice, when he gave her the choice, anything you want. He says she didn't make $200 a year scratching out back there. If she didn't have a garden, she would have starved to death. If she didn't get a little bit of meat out of the woods, she'd have starved to death. $200 a year. Brother Branham said, ask for $1 million and it'll be on the table right now. It'll be right there. I would venture to say of the Message Kingdom that 90-something percent would have went for the $1 million. That's why they would never have that opportunity. He said, you ask and you ask amiss. He said, ask whatever you will. He said, but the reason you don't get it is because you ask amiss. You asked upon your lust. You asked upon your other desires and things. But Brother Branham, she wanted him. She wanted him to tell her what to ask for. And he said, I can't. You have to do it. You have to choose. And he said, there's your sister, whatever she was. She's been in that wheelchair all her life. He said, just say it. She'll get up and walk. He said, you need money? Somewhere he said, her husband was down there in the graveyard. Said, ask for him. He'll come out. Think about that. Think. Wouldn't she like to have her husband back? Wouldn't she like to have that $1 million? Huh? Wouldn't she? There's many times that she prayed and prayed because that little girl suffered a lot. Brother Ram said every time she started suffering, they would all pray and God would ease that pain. But he never took her out of the wheelchair. She could have ended that right there. And that's when the prophet said, she told Brother Branham, said, Brother Branham, what do I ask for? Brother Branham said, that's when I knew. That's when I knew that she wasn't going to ask for the money. She wasn't going to ask for herself. She wasn't going to ask for that. That she wanted something eternal. She wanted something eternal. That's where we need to be. That's where our mind needs to be. That's where our heart needs to be. That's where we need to be aligned with the Word of God, with the will of God. John looked at that lamb, and that lamb looked like he had been slain. And then he noticed he was wounded and cut and bruised and bleeding and bloody. See, that's what took our place. See, isn't it strange that a lamb had to take our place? And he saw the lamb. He proceeded out. John hadn't saw him because he had been way back in the eternities, even making intercessions and showing that those who had come from God under the offering of the blood of bulls and of goats, a substitutionary offering, because them who believed it pointed to him. And the blood had not been shed yet, see? So he was there to clear them. He was there to clear you and I. Oh, God, I hope there's... He's there tonight for every sinner and every lamb. Amen. 199. I want to read a couple more quotes here before we close. And the lamb proceeded out into the vision now as he had been slain. Notice he come from the Father's throne. And where did he advance from? To this vision. He come from glory where he's seated at the right hand of God. See? And remember, he had been on his meritorial work back there. But remember, these seals are ready to be opened. And the lamb come from the sanctuary of God. See, Wait till we get over there in that half hour of silence. The sanctuary is smoking, and there's no more intercessions. The sacrifice has left. It's a judgment seat. See? There's no blood on it no more, for the blood-covered lamb has walked away. Don't you wait till that time. Now, he's telling us, in the breach here, he's telling us what is happening and what's fixing to happen and what has to happen in order for this lamb to come and get the book. In order for him to come and get the book, he has to leave that ministry. He has to leave that meritorial work now to come forth as the judge, as the king. And so then it becomes a judgment seat. And the blood is off of the mercy seat. There's no more blood there. And remember, in the Old Testament, as long as the blood was off the mercy seat, it was judgment. But as long as the blood was on there, there was mercy. But when that lamb walked away, that did it right there. See, praise be to God. That did it. That finishes it when that lamb comes and takes the book. And you can fear those things. They feared it 2,000 years ago, that the covenant was changing, that what God expected of them was changing, everything that God had done was changing. And now that God was going to become flesh. Just think about that. God is a spirit. And he creates a man and puts him there in the garden. And that man, he made him the God of the earth. He made him the God over all of the earth, over everything. Everything that was here. And there's God in heaven, and here's this man on the earth. But God wanted to be a man also. And that's what he had put in motion. And that's why this man had to fall. And he lost that inheritance. He lost that, what God had put in his hands. But there was coming one. His father was going to come and pay that price and bring it back. Where it started at, it was lost, but it was coming back. And God has fulfilled the price and the claim. He paid the price 2,000 years ago, and he made the claim in this day. And it's his. And now we're just waiting for it to finish out, to the manifestation to finish out. And so we thank God. Amen. Let us stand together. Ooh. We'll ask Brother Goomba if he'll come.
Appreciate you so much.
I love the way he preached. Thank you very much. The way predestination is preached, or the argument of the sinner, it makes God very, very weak.
Yes.
It is like he's completely defeated. And it is like he realized he was defeated long time ago until he said this is going to be easy and I cannot control it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a very, it's not like that. God has the power. God had the power to stop Adam from sinning.
Amen.
God had the power to stop even Eve from sinning. But I want to tell you how he did it. It's like God is working towards the fall. Because he finds that Adam cannot fall. And that's what I'm telling you. He finds that Adam cannot fall. And he says, Adam as a son of God cannot fall. You as a son of God, you cannot fall. So God goes, what do I do? And just imagining, what do I do now? What do I do? I have a plan. He must fall. Because if he doesn't fall, I'll never be a savior.
That's right.
I'll never be a healer. If there's no fall, I'll not. And God wanted to have a purpose of being. God wanted to come and show you and manifest that I'm a healer. So what am I going to do? I'm going to make everything else. Lion, lioness. Tiger, tigress. Like that. But when I come to make a man, I'll make a man and then lay him down. And then from him, I'll take a rib. Now, when Adam, when Eve came there, there's nothing, it was like him, it's part of him, there's nothing I can do. He's fallen, but I'm not going to leave my heart over there. I'm going to pick it up. And God knew, there's nothing Adam can do, but he will go pick it up. What was it? Again, a type. God was doing that, a type of Christ. How he will come, and then he will save his life. That's exactly right. But all those things, and Brother Ron has been mentioning something very many times. The Bible says that Pharaoh, is it Pharaoh? Am I pronouncing it? Pharaoh wanted them to go.
Yes.
Pharaoh wanted God. Why? Because he wanted to show his might.
Yes.
Like he wanted to show that he's a healer, he's a savior, he wanted to show his might. You're not going. You want to go, you're not going. God looks very bad. Look, God looks like a very bad boy. But you see, he comes and asks you, who are you to talk about me that I'm bad?
Exactly.
He says, I have two pots here. It's me who made them.
That's right.
I made the two pots. I can use them whatever, wherever I want. I can crush one and throw it away. It's my pot. It's like two, I wanted to come with two cups from there. It's like two cups. It's there yours. You can crush one and put them in the trash can. And the other one you can put very well in a fridge like that. You can do whatever you want to do. God is not lame. God is not weak. God is not, God. All things are possible with him. And he does what he wants. He wanted that to be that. That's what he wanted. He wanted that to be that. And because now he knows, and he knows what all, he has arranged his things very well, that they will go and be what he wants, then he now predestines. He now knows it's going to be that way. Adam is going to fall.
That's right.
Adam is going to fall. There's someone over here. Everybody, even you coming there, he knew Richard will come. Before. He predestined and Richard will be seated there. Right. Because he knows, but he made you come. It's him doing it. It's him doing it in everything. You don't take God out of this plan. If you take God out of this plan, you are making God a very, very weak God.
Sure.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We don't know where we would be, Lord, if you didn't open these things, Lord. Like today, the way you've spoken, Father, our ignorance, Lord. The ignorance was so much, Father, we even didn't know that suddenness has quarter. That Satan is a nobody, Lord. We thought that he's a great, and we feared him, and everybody feared him, Lord, until he came and proved that he's not. He's not, Lord. We are not sinners, Lord. We are not. We are your children that you love so much, Lord. And this is our kingdom, and we belong there, Lord. It's ours. It's not his. It's ours, Lord. Thank you for the revelation. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your life eternal, Lord, that you've given to us, Father. Thank you, Father, for the light that you've shown in this hour, in this last hour, Father. Thank you for everything, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.